A House lawmaker files a charter change resolution changing the terms of president and vice president to 5 years, but with a chance at re-election. Enrique Manalo is Manila's new top diplomat. The COVID positivity rate is up in Metro Manila and in 9 other areas. And 2 tropical cyclones are enhancing monsoon rains in the country. Hi, I'm Carmina Consentino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the midday news, a Philippine House lawmaker seeks an extension of the term limit for president and vice president. Pampanga Representative Aurelio Gonzalez Jr. filed his resolution Thursday. He is proposing a 5-year term with 1 re-election for the country's top 2 leaders instead of the current 1 term of 6 years. Gonzalez also seeking tandem voting for presidential and vice presidential bets belonging to the same political party. He cited the majority received by the Marcos Duterte tandem in the May 9 elections. Gonzalez filed the same resolution in last year's Congress, which failed to act on it. President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. appoints diplomat Enrique Manalo as the country's new foreign affairs secretary. He replaces Teodoro Locsin Jr. Manalo took his oath before Marcos in Malacañang Friday. He became acting top diplomat in March to May 2017 after Prefecto Yasay failed to make the confirmation as DFA secretary. He then served as the country's permanent representative to the United Nations in New York from 2020 to 2022. Chinese President Xi Jinping ready to work with the Philippines' new leader. In his congratulatory letter, Xi told Ferdinand Marcos Jr. that he is willing to work with him to continue writing a great chapter of China-Philippine relations. Chinese Vice President Wang Qishan also represented Xi during Thursday's inauguration, also presented a 4-point proposal to enhance bilateral ties. According to Chinese state media, Marcos told Wang Beijing was Manila's most powerful partner and that his administration is willing to deepen the country's participation in China's Belt and Road Initiative. There was no mention of China's increased military activities in disputed waters. But Japanese Foreign Minister Yoshimasa Hayashi, who also met with Marcos, said the Philippine leader agreed to cooperate with Tokyo to maintain and reinforce a rules-based maritime order. Hayashi added, Japan will support the Philippines' effort to enhance the equipment of its Coast Guard. Other foreign diplomats personally congratulated President Marcos Jr. at a post-inaugural reception at the National Museum. The papal envoy spoke on their behalf as Dean of the Diplomatic Corps to pledge their cooperation with his administration.
The Filipino people have placed their trust and their hopes in you, their hopes for a future that is prosperous, safe, equitable, and just. We too, in the international community, harbor the same hopes for your presidency and for your nation, and that we pledge our cooperation and collaboration with your administration in achieving the success of your mandate.
Marcos expressed gratitude to foreign governments for seeking to boost ties with the Philippines under his leadership.
We can only go from here to strength and to strength and to strength. And for that, that is what I look forward to, that the day will come when we can say that we have built upon the strong foundation that we came upon.
President Marcos and Vice President Sara Duterte Carpio attend their first mass as the new leaders of the Philippines. They were joined by several cabinet officials. The mass was presided by Manila Archbishop Cardinal Jose Advincula and Cardinal Orlando Quevedo at the National Shrine of St. Michael, the Archangel inside Malacañang. Congressman Joey Salceda says there are enough indicators from President Marcos for Filipinos to be hopeful for his administration. That's despite some critics saying Marcos's campaign lacks solid platforms.
You look at the kind of personality he has already chosen. And anin ba yung mga wala pa? Energy, health, at saka foreign affairs. So makikita mo kagad na filled up na yung mga economic departments except for energy. So doon mo kagad makikita ko ano yung kanyang mga priority. Pangalawa, yung pagpili niya bilang sekretary siya mismo ng agriculture. You can immediately see his prediction towards agriculture and essentially food security. I think on the whole, there is enough already guidelines or guidance for Filipinos to be more hopeful under the BBM administration.
And now that another Marcos is in power, a former official of the Presidential Commission on Good Government doubts the PCGG would make further headway in going after the ill-gotten wealth of the Marcos family. But Ruben Carranza believes the PCGG will not be abolished by the new president, just repurposed.
There's another reason why the Marcoses might not, in fact, abolish the commission. They want to use it to go after their own cronies to get what they claim is 60% of what these cronies control in businesses and have them returned, not to the Filipino people. Mm-hmm. This is not about recovering ill-gotten wealth, but recovering money stolen by the Marcoses, held by Marcos cronies, and now the Marcoses want that money in their pockets.
The number of new COVID cases in the Philippines reaches its highest in over 4 months. The country recorded 1,309 cases Thursday, mostly from Metro Manila. Based on the latest assessment of the Okta Research Group, the positivity rate in Tarn areas has increased from June 25 to 29. Okta says in Cavite, the positivity rate edged higher to 13.2%. Six more areas, including Metro Manila, also breached the World Health Organization's 5% benchmark. Philippine drug regulators urge to include all people with varying medical conditions to the second COVID booster rollout. Under the current rule, the immunocompromised are allowed to take a fourth COVID vaccine shot, but the scope is limited to certain individuals like those who have immunodeficiency and those living with HIV. Dr. Nina Gloriani, chairperson of the Vaccine Expert Panel, hopes the definition of immunocompromised will be revisited soon.
Ang aming dinagdag ay sana makonsider din yung mga maraming comorbidities. May pag-aaral, actually napakagandang pag-aaral yung isang publication kung saan tinignan nila yung data nung pag may isa kang sakit, isang comorbidity, nyari may hypertension ka, tapos pangalawa may diabetes ka pa, tapos pangatlo ay nyari meron ka pang mga chronic mga allergies and so on, respiratory disease. Meron silang binibilang 1, 2, 3, may I think merong hanggang may 8 hanggang 10 na may comorbidities. Nakita nila na ang vulnerability ay mas tumataas to COVID, to severe form of COVID, ay mas mataas, mas marami ang iyong mga sakit kasi marami ka rin iniinom na gamot.
COVID-19 cases in Europe also on the rise. The World Health Organization warns the region could see high levels of infections this summer. The UN agency cites the lifting of COVID-19 restrictions for the expected increase. Based on its data, COVID cases have already tripled in the past month, with the region currently registering under 500,000 cases daily. That's up from just around 150,000 at the end of May. The WHO is calling on European countries to keep testing for the virus and increase vaccination rates. It also urges the public to wear masks in crowded places. The World Bank creates a fund to finance investments to strengthen the fight against future pandemics. The World Bank says the fund will support prevention, preparedness, and response with a focus on low- and middle-income countries. It will be used to improve disease surveillance, among others. The fund, which the World Bank hopes to open later this year, has already received over $1 billion in commitments. The U.S. Supreme Court declines to take up a case challenging New York's COVID vaccine mandate for health workers. The High Court rejected the claim of a group of doctors and nurses who argued the mandate violates the Constitution's prohibition against religious discrimination. The court's action follows a decision in December in which the justices declined an emergency request to halt the requirement. Most of the plaintiffs either resigned from their jobs, lost hospital admitting privileges, or were fired for refusing the coronavirus jab. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, former Vice President Leni Robredo launches her Angat Buhay NGO. More on that when we come back. Stay with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we're back. You're still watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. A House lawmaker files a charter change resolution changing the terms of president and vice president to 5 years, but with a chance at one re-election. Enrique Manalo is Manila's new top diplomat. The positivity rate is up in Metro Manila and 9 other areas. And 2 tropical cyclones are enhancing monsoon rains in the country. Former President Rodrigo Duterte, now living his life as a normal citizen in his hometown, Davao City. He was warmly welcomed back by his fellow Davaoenos. Krislyn Bulosa now joins us with that story. Krislyn, what more can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, on his first day back as an ordinary citizen, former President Rodrigo Duterte graced the Salamat PRRD homecoming concert here in Davao City, organized by his supporters Thursday night. It was a warm welcome of the Davaoenos for him as he is now back home to where he started his political career with the first people who trusted him and his family. For over an hour, he delivered a speech before the local residents of Davao and his supporters. Duterte recalled that at one point when the press asked him about his plans after serving as the chief executive, he said that he wanted to sleep for 8 hours as he was deprived of sleeping for the past 6 years. Meanwhile, Duterte also took pride to his supporters about some of his accomplishments, especially in the field of education, peace and order, and health care. He also gave back to his supporters who put their trust to their family in leading the city and eventually the country since the late 80s. After completing his term as president, 3 of his children are currently in public service. Sara Duterte, as we know, as Vice President Sebastian as Davao City Mayor, and Paulo Duterte as Davao City's first district representative. Duterte also said that city is in good hands with the leadership of Sebastian, whom he described as the kindest of his children, while he also described Sara as tough and strict. And that is the latest here in Davao City. Krislyn Bulosa, ABS-CBN News.
Krislyn, do you have any word, aside from sleeping for 8 hours, as to what kind of life the former president wants to lead now that he's back in his hometown of Davao City, Krislyn?
Yes, Carmina, it was something that he was not able to disclose during his speech last night. But according to the words of his closest aide, Senator Bongo, that the former President Duterte really wants to enjoy and spend most of his time right now as a civilian, as a citizen, as an ordinary citizen roaming around the region. Actually, just last month, he was seen riding his motorcycle, traveling to Tagum City, to Tigo City. And for that, we can affirm that he just wanted to enjoy the rest of his days as a citizen. He's now back to becoming a usual citizen because he has been seated in the public office since the 80s.
And Krislyn, and now that he's back, what are the Davaoenos expecting from him?
Well, there isn't much of an expectation that he will really continue to be sitting in the public service, because he earlier mentioned actually multiple times that he wanted to really to retire from politics already. And the Davaoenos, as we can see, what I have seen and witnessed last night, the Davaoenos are actually just appealing for him to just rest, because they know that he is old enough, and he has been serving the city and even the country for years already, and for decades, actually.
Well, he's back, but there's another Davaoeno in the spotlight, a proud Davaoena. Mm-hmm. She said that in her inaugural address. How does it make the Davaoenos feel now that Vice President Sara Duterte Carpio sits as just the newly minted Vice President of the country? Expectations-wise, what are the Davaoenos thinking?
Actually, it's really evident that the Davaoenos are beaming with pride as another Davaoeno, as another Mindanaoan is seated in the second highest highest position in the government post. That is why they are also expecting that Sara Duterte will continue what the kind of administration or what the plans of his father, her father, Rodrigo Duterte, have initially did for the country.
Mm. And just as a final question, Kristen, talk to us about the changes in Davao City itself. When President Duterte, when former President Duterte sat as president, in those 6 years, the kind of changes the city has undergone and the kind of changes that it expects still now that his daughter sits as Vice President, Kristen.
I'm sorry, Carmina, that was not clear on my end. Can you please repeat the question?
Talk to us about the changes in Davao City when former President Rodrigo Duterte sat as president and the expectations in terms of changes still and in terms of development that the city expects now that the president's daughter, or the former president's daughter, Vice President Sara Duterte, now sits as vice president. Chrislyn.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Carmina, we were able to talk to a political analyst from the Ateneo de Davao University, Mr. Ramon Beleno III, and he actually recognizes that Sara Duterte's leadership as mayor in Davao City for the past 6 years, also for two consecutive terms, was more systematic of an approach of course, the daughter. And one of the many things that she was able to resolve, actually, was stabilize the finances of the city. Because, actually, even during the recent campaign period, Duterte bragged, actually, Sara Duterte, to be clear, bragged about the achievement of Davao City, of making Davao City debt-free by the end of her term, just June 2022. So there have also been several awards that the Davao City bagged, actually a total of 118 awards. And actually, it was something that Sara Duterte, when she was seated as a mayor, it's her pride that Davao City, considered as the biggest city here in the Philippines in terms of land area, was named as the eighth richest city in the country year 2020.
All right. We're going to have to leave it at that. Kristen Balosan there joining us this afternoon. Thanks, Kristen. Take care and keep safe. Back in the newsroom, former Vice President Lenny Robredo fulfills a promise to her supporters as she launched the Angat Buhay non-government organization. Adrian Ayala now joins us with that story. Adrian.
Hi, Carmina. From Vice President Lenny Robredo to now Chairperson of Angat Buhay, Attorney Lenny Robredo. Robredo just launched the Angat Buhay NGO here at the former Team Lenny Kiko headquarters in Quezon City. This is what she promised her volunteers and her supporters during the campaign or even post-election, that she will continue the anti-poverty programs of the Office of the Vice President under her watch. This NGO will have four pillars. She mentioned education, health, disaster response, and community engagement. So basically, these are the same programs of Robredo when she was still vice president, and she will continue these livelihood programs and other programs, especially during times of disaster. Robredo said that her office will always be present, especially for the poor. These are basically anti-poverty programs, such as in the Office of the Vice President, there were housing programs, there were community lighting up programs. And the partners will be the same partners that she had under the Office of the Vice President. But of course, they are still open for more collaborations among the those who pledged their support, continue to pledge their support, were architect Peach Buencamino, the designers Almario sisters, and other personalities. Former Senator Kiko Pangilinan was also here during the launch. This NGO, of course, is a product of the campaign wherein volunteerism sprouted during the campaign, the spirit of volunteerism from the supporters. The same people we saw during the campaign were also here. Even the celebrities were here. Agot Isidro, Jolina Magdangal, Camille Prats, all those who supported Robredo during her campaign or during her stint as a vice president were here. And right now, this is a day-long or a two-day celebration. Just to show you a bit of what is happening here, there is a wall here where guests are can sign their solidarity messages. And there is a long line there for the art exhibit. The paintings, the artworks that Robredo received during the campaign are exhibited there, people can donate a certain amount in exchange for an artwork. The donations will then be used by the Angat Buhay NGO for its project. Although I must say, Carmina, this is just a temporary office for Angat Buhay. Robredo said that she will be transferring her office to an old house also here in Quezon City, where it will also house the Museo ng Pag-asa, again from the Hope, which sprouted or from the campaign. Robredo did not grant an interview this morning, but she said she will still be visible. But while she's the chairperson, her staff at the office of the vice president, when she was still vice president, will also be leading the NGO. But this is going to be a lean staff. Not everyone from her office was absorbed, but of course, again, they vow to continue the anti-poverty programs of the Office of the Vice President under Robredo. Carmina?
Yes, Adrian, earlier you spoke of collaborations. That the attorney, Lenny Robredo, is open to that as well. Did she make any mention of the current government being part of these collaborations? We were speaking with DSWD Secretary Erwin Tulfo yesterday on our wall-to-wall coverage, and he did say part of his plan is also to reach out to non-government organizations like the Angat Buhay NGO of attorney Lenny Robredo to further the reach of the government to benefit those who need it the most. Adrian.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Carmina, just like any NGO, they have to coordinate with the government. And just last night, Robredo met with the officers of the provincial government of Quezon. They are already starting a project with them, a dormitory for students. So it's really inevitable for NGOs to coordinate with the government, national or local government. So definitely there will be some form of partnership between Angat Buhay NGO and the local government and national government. But as to reaching out to the newly installed government, we still have to get information on that. But definitely there will be coordination, because for NGOs to survive, they will have to go to the field, and that means coordination, especially with the local government for their projects, or even before the start of the project, because this is how it works. They would also coordinate with the local government, aside from their community partners, of course, the private community partners, but they will also have to coordinate with the local governments to know which projects are really needed in that particular area or particular town. So definitely there will be coordination between Angat Buhay and the government. For VP Lenny, or sorry Carmina, force of habit, for Attorney Robredo to continue the anti-poverty programs of her office, Angat Buhay NGO. Angat Buhay NGO. Carmina?
All right, no worries about that, Adrian. It's just day one, and we're all adjusting. Thanks for that report. Adrian Ayalin there, joining us live. And back here in the newsroom, here's another challenge the Marcos administration will have to deal with, easing the burden of commuters. See, beginning today, there were no more free MRT rides, and commuters will also pay higher jeepney fares. Our very own Jackie Manaba now joins us with more details. Jackie.
Carmina, some of the passengers we talked to, they said they are okay with the higher fares. This is, as it will help the transport industry recover. Well, some said this is another challenge for them, that while they're still struggling with the high prices of basic commodities. The passengers we talked to also said that they were able to save money because of free ride services, and some said they had spent the extra money on food. That is why some jet this month, because passengers were greeted by higher jeepney fares and plane tickets, plus a limited number of routes for the free ride service. The base fare of public utility jeepneys is now 11 pesos. This increase is the second time the Land Transportation Franchising and Regulatory Board granted an increase in jeepney fares in just a month. Within the month, LTFRB approved a 1 peso fare hike last June 8th for jeepneys flying NCR Regions 3 and 4. And over 140 routes to NH Libre Sakay program or free ride service today. The EDSA bus carousel, however, will remain free until the end of the month or July 31. However, this EDSA bus carousel, bus operators say they might reduce the number of buses in service because they are complaining that the government is 2 months delayed in their payment. The EDSA carousel free ride, which runs from Monumento to CITX, costs the government 10 million pesos a day. MRT3 has also halted its free ride offer. The railway pays around 18 pesos per passenger. And since it started late March, the management said they gave passengers 28 million free rides. However, the budget could only sustain the MRT3 free rides until yesterday, June 13th. A higher fuel surcharge is also applicable this month. Civil Aeronautics Board adjusted the fuel surcharge to a high level of 11. Under level 11, airlines can collect a fuel surcharge of 365 pesos to 1,000 pesos per passenger for domestic flights and from 1,000 to 8,000 pesos for international flights originating from the Philippines. The rates depend on the distance of the flight. The agency explained that aviation fuel reached a high of $163 per barrel in May 2022, which more than doubled the $78 per barrel in 2021. A passenger group, they call themselves the Passenger Forum, suggested that the Marcos administration should act quickly on their situation and to allow more PUVs on the road. The transport department should also clarify guidelines on carpooling and company shuttles. They should also maximize the Pasig River and other waterways for transportation. And they also suggested to open new routes for franchises for underserviced areas. As of now, the new transportation officials have yet to answer on how they would address this situation of the passengers as oil prices continue to increase. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Jackie Manabat there joining us on the line. Take care, Jackie. Keep safe. And back here in the newsroom, former Philippine Budget Secretary Rolando Andaya Jr. passed away Thursday. He was 53. Andaya's children announced his death on social media but did not specify the cause. Andaya served as Camarines Sur representative. He lost his bid to become Camarines Sur governor in the May elections. Andaya previously made headlines when he suggested that then Davao City Mayor, now Vice President Sara Duterte, could run for president. He later backed the presidential bid of then Vice President Lenny Robredo. Andaya's close friend, House lawmaker Joey Salceda, says his death is saddening and a loss for the country.
He was my good friend, and we worked together under President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, essentially handling fiscal matters. So it's truly sad, especially after he also lost his wife, and then, of course, now it's himself. So nakakalungkot kasi he's a stalwart of the national budgeting process.
Our condolences to the family. An update on the weather now. Domeng has intensified into a tropical storm. Let's get more details from ABS-CBN's resident meteorologist, Ariel Rojas. Ariel, which areas will be affected?
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina. Since Tropical Storm Domin is over the sea, there will be no direct effect here in the country. But the two tropical cyclones flanking the Philippines will continue to enhance the southwest monsoon or Habagat. Severe Tropical Storm Chaba, formerly Caloy, remains over the West Philippine Sea and is headed towards southern China tomorrow. And here in Said Par, as you have just mentioned, Domin intensified into a tropical storm this morning. It was last located 940 kilometers east of extreme northern Luzon with sustained winds of 65 kilometers per hour and with gusts up to 80 kilometers per hour. It is moving northward at 15 kilometers per hour and may leave the PAR by tomorrow. This Friday, monsoon rains will continue to batter Kalayaan Islands and the rest of Luzon and Western Visayas, meanwhile, will be cloudy with scattered rains. As both storms will continue moving away from the country, Habagat will weaken by weekend. However, Batanes and Ubuyan Islands can still expect monsoon rains. The rest of the country will see improving conditions and longer sunny periods, but thunderstorms will still be bringing rains in the afternoon and evening in northern Luzon, Bicol and Mindanao on Saturday, and in northern Luzon, central Luzon, Visayas and Mindanao on Sunday. Here in Metro Manila, rains are still expected this afternoon and evening, but tomorrow and on Sunday, the skies will be mostly cloudy with sunny periods and light rains are possible in the evening. That's the update on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Happy weekend and stay safe, everyone. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ariel. And from there, we're going to go for another break. The largest contract in NBA history awarded to the league's two-time reigning MVP. We'll get the details when we come back. This is Dateline Philippines here on AMC. Back with more news. Three decades after they were forced into exile, the Philippines' most famous political dynasty returns to the peak of power. Sandro Chona traces the Marcos family's successful journey towards reclaiming control of the Philippines.
It's been 36 years since the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos Sr. was ousted in 1986. But after nearly four decades, the Marcos family is back in Malacanang. DLSU political science professor Julio Tihanki sees Marcos Jr.'s oath of office as historical, vowing to defend a constitution crafted after his father was removed from office.
Ang tanong, palalakasin ba ni Bongbong Marcos ang 1987 constitution or magiging hudyat ba ito ng pagtatapos ng ikalimang republika sa ilalim ng 1987 constitution?
For historian Xiao Chua, there are two sides to the Marcos legacy.
May dalawang aspekto yung panguluhan ng dating Pangulong Marcos, yung tatay. May aspekto na malupit, may kamay na bakal, di ba? Pero may aspekto na naaalala ng marami, kaya nga yun ang ini-invoke na halal sila, yung mga proyekto.
After a nearly six-year exile in Hawaii, the Marcoses were allowed to return home in 1991. The following year, Imelda Marcos ran but lost her presidential bid. While Bongbong Marcos won as the representative for the 2nd District of Ilocos Norte. In 1995, he entered the Senate race but lost. 3 years later, Bongbong Marcos was elected as governor of Ilocos Norte, a position he held for three terms until 2007. On that same year, he ran and won a district congressman, and finally securing a Senate seat in 2010. However, he again tasted defeat when he tried to seek the vice presidential post. But fast forward to 2022, Bongbong Marcos earned an overwhelming mandate to be the Philippines' 17th president. He, however, will be facing numerous challenges stemming from the pandemic and economic difficulties due to the Ukraine crisis.
Bagsak ang ating ekonomiya pero hindi pa rin tayo tapos sa pandemya. Kailangan talaga yung sure and safe exit from the pandemic. And then how do you address the scarring in the economy?
Ano yung gagawin mo sa mga krisis? Yun yung first 100 days. So at yung State of the Nation address na darating, yung unang sona niya, yun ang magseset sa atin. Ano ba yung magiging takbo ng administrasyon na ito?
Another issue that some observers are looking at is how President Marcos will deal with surviving victims of martial law.
Dapat mamulat tayo. Dapat magmasig tayo. We should be aware and we should keep on monitoring all the time.
Yun. Wall of remembrance.
Kaya ito ang kahalagahan ng ginagawa namin sa ngayon.
Inaasahan ko na sa susunod na mga araw, mga linggo at mga buwan, ipapakita nila sa pagsuporta, sa pagkilos laban sa korupsyon, laban sa pagtaas ng presyo ng bilihin, at laban sa pagsikil sa ating mga kalayaan.
Papahayag.
And as President Marcos was sworn in, these victims, along with some youth groups, held their own oath-taking, determined to continue seeking justice and truth. Zandro Ochona, ABS-CBN News.
NATO will continue to strike a balance between providing support for Ukraine and preventing a higher level of war. That's according to NATO Chief Jens Stoltenberg on the last day of the alliance's summit in Madrid. He says NATO allies have vowed unprecedented support for Ukraine, including a continuous supply of heavy weaponry.
NATO now has tasks to help Ukraine transition from old Soviet-era equipment to modern NATO standard equipment. At the same time, we also know that this can get worse, because if this becomes a full-scale war between Russia and NATO, then we'll see suffering, damage, death, destruction at a scale which is much, much worse than what we see in Ukraine today.
Hong Kong swears in its new leader. Chinese President Xi Jinping himself administered the oath to Hong Kong Chief Executive John Lee Friday morning. Li was the sole candidate in the elections. He will be replacing Carrie Lam and has promised to usher in a new chapter for Hong Kong. The 64-year-old oversaw the crackdown on the 2019 anti-government protests that roiled the city for months. He was also sanctioned by the U.S. for his role in implementing a national security law that has been used to crack down on dissent. The oath-taking coincides with the 25th anniversary of Hong Kong's return to Chinese rule. It also marks Xi's first visit to the special administrative region in about 3 years. In other news, the U.S. Supreme Court deals a blow to the Biden administration's battle against climate change. The High Court ruled government's key environmental agency does not have the power to set sweeping caps on greenhouse gases from coal-fired power plants. President Joe Biden had been hoping to use the Environmental Protection Agency to bring down emissions to meet global climate goals that were set in the 2015 Paris Agreement. Biden called the ruling devastating, but he vowed to take action and find ways to continue protecting Americans. The United Nations, meanwhile, called it a setback in the fight against climate change.
Decisions like today's in the U.S. or any other major emitting economy makes it harder to meet the goals of the Paris Agreement for a healthy, livable planet. This is a setback in our fight against climate change when we are already far off track in meeting the goals of the Paris Agreement. The Secretary General has said repeatedly that the G20 must lead the way in dramatically stepping up climate action.
Judges from Kentucky and Florida blocked the states from enforcing bans on restrictions on abortion. This comes after the U.S. Supreme Court's move to overturn the Roe v. Wade decision that gave states the authority to deny, limit, or allow abortions. In Florida, a judge approved a petition from abortion rights groups to temporarily put on hold a state law that would bar abortions after the 15th week of pregnancy. A Kentucky judge, meanwhile, issued a temporary restraining order, preventing the state from enforcing a ban triggered by the Supreme Court's ruling. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson has been sworn in, making history as the first female African-American to hold the post. In a statement following her oath-taking, Jackson said she will support and defend the U.S. Constitution and administer justice without fear nor favor. But she is joining a court in turmoil. The country is still reeling from the aftermath of the court's most consequential rulings in decades, the overturning of abortion rights, the expansion of gun rights, and now limiting the government's power to curb carbon emissions. Off to another break. Coming up, the Philippines' debt slightly declines in May. Stay with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back with more news. The Philippines' debt slightly declines in May. The government's total outstanding debt settled at 12.50 trillion pesos for the month, which is 12.1%, make that 2.1% lower compared to April. The Bureau of Treasury says the decrease was due to the repayment of provisional advances from the central bank. Domestic debt for the month stood at 8.67 trillion pesos, 3% lower compared to the April level. External debt was at 3.83 trillion pesos, which is 0.1% higher than the previous month. The Philippines borrowed heavily to fund its pandemic response. The country's debt-to-GDP ratio hit 63.5% in March, which is higher than the global standard of 60%. OPEC and its allies stick to a planned output increase in August, defying calls to pump more barrels to cool crude prices. The group will increase monthly overall production for August to 648,000, make that 1,000 barrels per day. OPEC Plus has been slowly returning the nearly 10 million barrels per day it pulled from the market in April 2020 when the pandemic affected demand. Oil prices slipped Thursday after OPEC's decision and amid concerns about global supply tightness. International benchmark Brent crude fell to $114 a barrel, which U.S. crude while U.S. crude settled at $108. The Philippine Central Bank sees inflation accelerating further in June. The BSP expects the Consumer Price Index to settle within the range of 5.7 to 6.5%. That's way above government's target range of 2 to 4% and even higher than the 5.4% inflation recorded in May. The BSP cites the continued increase in oil and power prices and the peso's depreciation as primary sources of inflationary pressures for the month. The central bank has raised its benchmark interest rate twice this year to 2.5% in a bid to tame inflation. In sports, the NBA's offseason just got crazier with teams handing out multi-million dollar deals at the start of free agency. The story that stood out was the trade request of former MVP Kevin Durant. The scoring machine wants out of Brooklyn. He was told team management of his desire to be traded either to Phoenix or Miami. The move comes just days after Durant's all-star teammate Kyrie Irving made a similar request. If the Nets do trade their two franchise players, it will mark the end of a very short Big Three era, having traded their third all-star James Harden in the middle of last season. Still on the NBA, the Denver Nuggets have awarded their two-time reigning MVP with the largest contract in league history. Nikola Jokic has agreed to re-sign with the Nuggets on a staggering five-year, $264 million deal. The contract includes a player option on the final year worth $60 million. It's a satisfying reward for the Serbian center who has transformed himself from an unknown second-round pick to become one of the league's all-time greats. The Philippines absorbed a 106-60 rout to New Zealand in the 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup Asian qualifiers in Auckland. A young Gilas Pilipinas squad struggled against the bigger, more experienced tall blacks. They will return to action on Sunday, July 3rd, when they host India at the Mall of Asia Arena in Pasay. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cban.com. In entertainment, Natalie Portman celebrates female strength as she stars in Thor, Love and Thunder. Yong Chavez tells us more about some of the characters in the latest Marvel film to hit the big screen.
As an actress, Oscar winner Natalie Portman relishes the chance to transform and play various characters. For Thor, Love and Thunder, her physical preparations began months before the cameras rolled so she could return to the Marvel film franchise as Jane Foster, now also known as the Mighty Thor.
It's so exciting to get to play a character like Jane. I feel so lucky to get to be, get to be a superhero. That's like such an extraordinary opportunity, and I feel so lucky to have had the chance. And Jane is also such an incredible character as an astrophysicist. I feel like that's exciting too, to get to represent to girls.
Her co-star Tessa Thompson celebrated Portman's and the Thor's cast's return on the big screen. Thompson also shared what it meant for her to be part of a big Hollywood film.
Natalie rejoining us. She's a good friend of mine, so having her felt like summer camp. The last time around, they were a little more freewheeling. This time, they're like, Thor is having a midlife crisis. Valkyrie has finally turned herself around and is a woman of bureaucracy and responsibility. And so it's fun to play these characters that we love so much and see them grow as we grow too. I grew up in Los Angeles. I used to come to movies here. My dad would take me to this cinema, and it was always like a big deal when I got to see movies here. So I can't believe I am now in movies here.
The film recently held its star-studded world premiere in Hollywood, led by Thor himself, Chris Hemsworth. The latest Marvel movie also stars film actor Dave Bautista, who appears as his Guardians of the Galaxy character, Drax.
Thor: Love and Thunder is directed by Taika Waititi, who also returns in the movie as Thor. Yong Chavez, ABS-CBN News, here in Hollywood.
And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.